Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Just 1 month ago, President Trump tweeted, "Trade wars are good and easy to win." As the U.S. and China edge closer to a trade war, we may find out if he's right or wrong. On Wednesday, China swung back hard against the president's proposed tariffs on 1,300 Chinese imports. Beijing says it intends to slap 25% duties on the top products the U.S. exports to China, including airplanes, soybeans, and cars. That's $50 billion in retaliatory tariffs. Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes is with us now. Daniel, President Trump is certainly fulfilling the campaign promises he made to his base. He has been highly critical of China for a long time regarding trade. But we just talked here last week about how huge and important the Chinese market is for U.S. carmakers. So how worried are auto execs at these tit-for-tat threats?
I would say right now they're not really worried. They're certainly watching this. I think they've taken a measure of this president and his negotiating style and actually, in some cases, probably read his book, The Art of the Deal. And this is a guy who takes a maximum position at the beginning. A lot of people scream and yell, how can you do this? This is going to cause a trade war. This is going to be a mess. And then starts to walk it back to a more reasonable position. We're not to the walking back part yet, although there are some conversations going on between his administration and their Chinese counterparts to suggest that they already are in the negotiating process here, that Trump's actions initially have caused the Chinese to say, okay, we've got to deal with this in some way, shape, or form, because at the end of the day, a full-blown war is not beneficial to either side. So I think the manufacturers are looking at this and saying, okay, now we're in this negotiating period. It gives us our chance to lobby the administration, our contacts the administration. And by the way, as we've talked before, this auto industry, particularly the Detroit auto industry, probably has better connections with this administration than they've had with the last probably two Democratic administrations and the last two Republican administrations.
Why is that? Really?
George W. Bush was no fan. I can remember writing columns at the time. I mean, this is the president of the United States who would go get his picture taken at a Nissan plant and would go visit, I think it was a Honda plant, but he absolutely wouldn't have anything to do with Detroit. Donald Trump has a more of a throwback Americana attachment to Detroit. Now, I think in a lot of ways, he's living in another generation or in a previous generation in terms of his attitudes about the industry. But there is an open door, a much more of an open door, to people from the companies at all levels, including at the CEO level, but not just at the CEO level, but certainly at the senior staff level. So I think they feel like they can work through some of this stuff. There's not a lot of product that goes between the countries. General Motors is the largest market for it in the world is China. Mm-hmm. It produces the vast amount of products that it sells in China are built in China. They're not built in the United States. The ones that are built in the United States are more boutique-y kind of products. They are, however, bringing over a midsize SUV, the Buick Envision, which the UAW calls the Invasion, that is made in China and is brought here and sold in U.S. showrooms. The other thing is that Ford is preparing to do its next generation Focus for the U.S. market in China, produce it in China and ship it here. We don't know what kind of implications there might be for those products down the road.
Isn't Lincoln pinning a lot of hopes on building that Chinese market?
Absolutely. I mean, I think Lincoln is making a bet on American luxury. They're not going to chase the Germans. They're not going to try to be like BMW and be like Mercedes, which clearly General Motors Cadillac has been doing. And they've got a bipolar strategy, the U.S. and China. They're not focusing on Europe, and they're betting that Chinese people with money will really warm to American luxury. They already have in some ways. Look at Buick. I mean, the whole Buick revival story is driven largely by China. It survived the meltdown and the bankruptcy in 2008 and 2009 because of China. So I think, yeah, Lincoln is very important here, too. So there are a lot of potential implications here, but we really have to see how the negotiations work out and what the ultimate impact is going to be on the auto industry.
Is there a sense that the Chinese sure swung back quickly and swung back hard?
But that's because I think this is a test of Trump's leadership. I mean, he is essentially, by taking this on, particularly taking this on almost the eve of a potentially historic summit with North Korea, in which he's going to need the Chinese at the table. He's taken this on, and I think people around the world are going to be watching to take a test of this guy's leadership. How tough is he really? I think the Chinese, and look where they hit back. They didn't hit back on the coast per se. They hit back on agricultural products, automotive, things that are located disproportionately in the Midwest and the Farm Belt, and that is Trump country. The Chinese are not stupid. They can read politics as well as anybody, and part of the reason that they're focused here is a way to say, okay, you want to go to war, we're going to potentially hurt people that are your voters.
So if the president's trade gamble in getting tough with China blows up, the very people who voted for him in Michigan are going to be hurt the most by all of this.
Well, I think that's the Chinese calculation. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any question about that. You know, now, whether that actually happens or not remains to be seen. Look, this is happening at a time of exceedingly robust economic growth by historic comparisons, at least over the last 10 years. Interesting column in the Wall Street Journal today talking about one of the biggest problems for the American economy right now and what is holding it back to the extent it's being held back is labor shortage. And when you start saying we're gonna restrict immigration, you essentially are creating a situation where Americans won't do certain kinds of jobs, they won't move to do certain kinds of jobs, but it's harder to get people to come into the country to do those jobs. So what happens? The economy becomes somewhat constrained. Are we going to necessarily have a lot of dislocation as a result of this? I don't think we know. But clearly, it's better for this to be happening in this kind of environment than in a much weaker economic environment.
Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes. Thanks, Daniel.
Thank you.